our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the mercy of God is always safe, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about the willingness to be made new. When I read spiritual books or the biographies of Christians, I'm always reminded of how far I have to go, how far short I fall of God's standards. And of course, that has the effect sometimes of making me feel a bit discouraged. I think I have many times on this program spoken of how important I think it is to read spiritual biographies, the biographies of Christians, because for one thing, you can see the whole span of the life from birth to death, and it's easier sometimes for us to see how God works in somebody else's life than it is for us to see how He works in our own lives. And yet we can make the analogies when we read, and we see that the person went through some very dark valleys. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what was going to be the outcome. And read a few more pages, and you find out what the outcome was. And that encourages us. So spiritual biographies have had a very profound influence in my own life. And I would suggest, very strongly urge you, to get your hands on some of those books. For example, the biography of Hudson Taylor, written by Mrs. Howard Taylor. Biography of David Brainerd, of Fraser, of Lisu Land. And I've written a couple of biographies myself. I wrote one about my first husband, Jim Elliott. It's called Shadow of the Almighty. And then I wrote one a few years later about another missionary, Ken Strachan, of the Latin America Mission in Costa Rica. And it was very interesting to me to receive the reactions from some of my readers. There were people who thought that I had painted far too rosy a picture of my husband, Jim, and the opposite of Ken Strachan. They felt that Jim Elliott was painted as much too strong a person, Ken Strachan as much too weak. Well, actually, I felt that there is a difference between people. Some are strong, seemingly naturally strong, and others are weak. But if Ken Strachan was weak, God used that man. He was rather a small man with a squeaky voice and a man very, very deeply conscious of his own inadequacies, probably a man with what we might call a poor self-image or an inferiority complex. And yet God did great things through Ken Strachan. And the great lesson for me as I studied the lives of these two men was that it is the same Lord and it is the same process that each one has to undergo to be shaped into the image of Christ. And you know that is God's purpose for you and me. He wants to make us like Jesus. Romans 8:28 says that everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And verse 29 defines the purpose. It is that we should be shaped to the image of His Son. Some people said to me, well, Ken Strachan was an ordinary guy. He was no saint. And we like that, don't we? We like to think that people are no better than we are. But even so, I felt as I was studying his life that he was way beyond me in his commitment and the earnestness of his walk with God. He was a man who longed for God, for a deeper relationship with him. It's been out of print for many years. It was called Who Shall Ascend? There's a hymn, Oh, for a Closer Walk with God. And that is the prayer of my life, that God will daily draw me closer to Himself and help me to be more like Him. You know that little song, that prayer, to see Thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day. I'm sure that many of you would tell me that that is what you really want. So let's think during this week about how this can happen. Well, the first thing is to start with where it can happen. And the answer is right here. Right here where you are. Some of you may be driving a truck. Some of you may be listening with earphones at a desk in an office. Some of you may be washing the dishes, taking care of little children. You might even be a farmer driving a tractor. Yes, I did have a letter from a farmer. But wherever you are, wherever God has put you, is the place in which He wants to make you new. Whatever in your life is necessary and right, whatever is a part of your duty to God, first of all, to the government, to the laws of the land, to your church, to your boss, to your home and family, all of those things are a part of your obedience to God, which means part of our spiritual walk with God, or even our religion. Now, that's a word I don't use much, maybe you've noticed, because I think religion is a very vague word. Religion means doing something about God. And for those who are not religious and don't think very much about God, if one speaks of God, then they would say, oh, you must be religious. Well, you can be very religious in the sense of going through the motions without really loving God. So that's the reason that I don't use the word very much. We're talking about a spiritual walk with God, a genuine, earnest commitment to do His will, to follow Him, to hear what He says, and to obey. When we hear people complain about the obstructions and the hindrances because of their life's duties and burdens, so that they can't really be very spiritual, it's impossible for them to be devoted to God. People who take that attitude are really laboring under delusion, a false idea of what the spiritual life is. Have you ever heard of that little booklet, Practicing the Presence of God? It was written by a young monk called Brother Lawrence. And when he entered the monastery, he wanted to do spiritual work. And he was given the job of washing the pots and pans in the kitchen. And it was there, in that humble place, that he was willing to be made new and shaped into the image of Christ. Do you realize that your daily work is given to you by God? That the very task which is set to you gives you the opportunity to offer Him your obedience? We can go farther. Not only are those duties not obstructions, no matter how distracting, tough, or time-consuming they may be, they are the direct means, when we accept them as such, meant to help us toward that conformity to Christ, which is our deepest desire. I think I should repeat that. The very duties that God has given you, no matter how distracting, tough, or time-consuming, they are not obstructions. They are the direct means, when we accept them as such, to help us toward that conformity to Christ, which is our deepest desire. George Herbert has a poem about a servant. He says, "He makes drudgery divine, who sweeps a room as for thy laws makes that and the action fine." Do you sweep a room for God? Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7 says, "Don't work hard only when your master is watching, and then shirk when he isn't looking. Work hard and with gladness all the time, as though working for Christ, doing the will of God with all your hearts." In other words, we're to serve wholeheartedly, as if for the Lord and not for men. Remember that this series is entitled The Willingness to be Made New. In Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24, we read, "Let me say this then, speaking for the Lord, live no longer as the unsaved do, for they are blinded and confused. Their closed hearts are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God, because they have shut their minds against Him, and they cannot understand His ways. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and have given themselves over to impure ways. They stop at nothing, being driven by their evil minds and reckless lusts." But that isn't the way Christ taught you. If you have really heard His voice and learned from Him the truths concerning Himself, then throw off your old evil nature, the old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and sham. Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person, holy and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature. Christ breaks the bonds of our sins. He gives us a new life. But we have to want it, we have to ask for it, and we have to do what He says.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. We can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.